Amen, amen. Give me a favor, give God another hand clap of praise for the voices today, amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We are so grateful to God for all that is happening and how the Lord has been blessing. If you would turn with me to Acts, the second chapter, the first verse, Acts. The second chapter, the first verse. The second chapter, the book of Acts, the first verse. Good to see the brothers of Somerset Academy in the building. Main man Jimmy Jenkins in the house. We're blessed. See the fellas here. Acts, the second chapter, first verse. Got a couple of pieces of good news. One, we want to thank God that we got word our brother Michael Phillips, a member of Community of Hope, that he had a kidney transplant today, amen. And his wife has hit us up and let us know that he is out of the surgery, and the surgery was a success, amen. Amen. We are grateful to God. We also have a word of testimony. Those who were here last Sunday, it was at 12 o'clock service, wasn't it? 12 o'clock service. When Brother Dre came, he had gotten word that his brother was in the ICU. No, his brother was on intensive care. Yeah, intensive care in the ICU. He came to church before he went to the hospital. He came to church before he went to his hospital, was concerned about his brother living. We prayed for him in here. And we got word that his brother is out of intensive care and is set to make a full recovery. Amen. Hallelujah. Any of y'all remember praying last Sunday? Trying to help somebody here. There's something you came in here with this Sunday, amen. Did God say by next Sunday it's going to be your testimony, amen, somebody. We don't care how bad it looks, how rough it looks, but we know the Lord is in the testimony bringing business. And so we thank God for how the Lord is moving, how God is blessing. Acts the second chapter. Acts the second chapter. If y'all will allow me, that I'm going to start reading verse 14. But I do want to kind of shape the setting in verses 1 through 13. The scriptures talk about on the day of Pentecost, you had the disciples and the whole crew in an upper room. The Bible says they were in one place on one accord, and a wind, a mighty rushing wind came in the room, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, fell upon them. It says they then started making such a commotion that then people who were from all around started coming in Jerusalem. And the Bible says they started speaking to them in their own language. They were speaking in tongues, but everybody heard in their own language. Every nationality heard in their own language. So they were speaking in tongues, but the Spanish heard it in Spanish, and the French heard it. And the Spanish and French weren't there, but y'all know what I mean. Amen. Amen. And so everybody heard it in their own language, what they were saying, and understood them like there was a Holy Ghost translator right there. And then at the end of that area of scripture, it says that, but some, however, in verse 13, it says, some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In this last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we get ready to share on the sermon subject, when they see us. When they see us. Let us look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this moment that is yours. We thank you for this Pentecost Sunday. We thank you for this Men's Day Sunday. Thank you, God, for how you needed Pentecost and Men's Day to fall on the same day because you wanted our men to have power. Now, God, not just for the men, God, not just for the brothers, but all of us, God, need to feel your power. So, God, have your way in this sermon. Speak to me, God. Have a word through me, God. Send the preacher, send the Holy Ghost. And we'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. Save, heal, deliver, set the captive free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. When they see us. My brothers and my sisters, on Netflix, there's a new series on Netflix. There's a new four-episode series on Netflix that everybody's been talking about. Everybody's been talking about it, and it's called When They See Us. It's been done by our sister Ava DuVernay, and it's about the brothers of the Central Park Five. Those five young brothers there was a woman who had been raped in Central Park, and these five young African-American brothers ended up being locked up for the rape. They ended up being locked up for the rape, but it was found out that they were innocent of all charges. They ended up being locked up. They ended up being interrogated. They ended up being pushed to false testimony and ended up being locked up for years. But later on, evidence came forward. The person who did it was able to be found. And what you found was these young brothers had been locked up for their childhood and even to much of their adulthood, the Central Park Five. Central Park Five was a very interesting situation in New York and all over the nation because it deals with the fact of how folks see young black brothers. It deals with the fact of how folks see young black brothers, and I believe that's one of the reasons that Sister DuVernay named the title of this series, When They See Us. Because you all know that when they see us, they see something different sometimes. That I don't care who you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how much money you have. That when they see us, that they see the need to clutch a purse. That when they see us, they see the need to walk on the other side of the street. When they see us, they see the need to follow us in the store like we're stealing something, even though we got enough in our pocket to buy up the whole store. Have I got a witness in the house today? That when they see us, I'm not just talking about black brothers. I'm talking about all of us. Amen, somebody, but black brothers in particular, that when they see us, that they don't see a couple of rows of young brothers who come out to church on a Sunday with their coach, but they see young brothers who they don't expect to do much in life. When they see us, that the world looks at us in a different kind of a way. You're going to say, Reverend, are you being too particular? No. If you look in 2006, the Washington Post, the Kaiser Foundation, and Harvard University did a study, and in that study it said that many Americans believe that crime, unemployment, and poverty are in endemic to black men. That crime, unemployment, and poverty is how we live our lives. But the truth be told is most black men will not be incarcerated, are not unemployed, and are not poor. But what happens is when they see us, they see these negative stereotypes when they see us. But we're not the only ones to ever face a stereotype or have people look down on us. Because that goes all the way back to biblical times. That even when God is doing something special in your life, that sometimes people can see you as not being who God has called you to be. If you look at the scripture, what you'll find in the scripture is you find these folks on the day of Pentecost. They up there, they've been praying, they've been fasting, they've been getting on one accord, and the Holy Spirit comes in. I'm talking about something that had been prophesied by Jesus. Jesus told these disciples to go and to wait for the Holy Spirit. The gift comes from God that blows the mind of the world. I'm talking about they start speaking in an unknown tongue, and everybody in the room hears them in their own language, hears them in their own particular language. They're able to understand what these folks are saying. And in the midst of this miracle, the Bible says that some folks said they've had too much wine. In other words, that folks couldn't see God moving through them, folks saw that they must be drunk. Is there anybody in the house today that even when God has been moving in your life, folks don't believe it? Is there anybody in your house today that even when God is trying to do a work in you, that folks want to paint it as something else? That folks say, oh, you're going to church every Sunday, and on weekdays too, it must be a cult. Amen, somebody? Is there anybody in here that since you've been trying to do the right thing, that's the time that folks have been messing with you, dealing with you, talking about you, misusing and abusing you, that when you're trying to stand up for something, and that's when folks say that you're doing it for the wrong reasons in the wrong ways? Because sometimes you can be doing the right thing, but because people have a vision of you and a perspective of you, they will never get you out, let you get out of the box they called for you. But the devil is alive. Come by to talk to somebody here today and to let you know that you are who God says you are. And you got to stop worrying about what they say about you, but worry about what God says about you. Got to stop worrying about how they see you and worry about how God sees you. If you get so caught up on how people see you, then people will always keep you bound up. But if you can ever grab a hold of who God sees you to be, then you'll understand that you're the lender and not the borrower, that you're the first and not the last, that you're the head and not the tail. And everywhere you step your foot, you should be called blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, baby, I'm blessed. I may look broke, but I'm blessed. I may look lonely, but I'm blessed. I may look like it's hard in my life, but I'm blessed. I may look like my family half crazy, but I'm blessed. Because God's working something out for me. God's turning some things around for me. You may look at my neighborhood and say, I come from the hood, but baby, we just got character, and I'm about to be somebody. Have I got anybody in the house today? They said you grew up in the wrong neighborhood, but you know with God on your side, ain't no wrong neighborhood. It's just God's place that God had you to grow up in, for you to be who God has called you to be. When they see us, one of the first things you've got to understand is when they see us, you've got to reclaim your story. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to reclaim my story. I'm going to reclaim my story. The thing I like about Peter in this scripture is as soon as folks start talking about they must be drunk, Peter hopped up on the microphone. Amen. It's interesting to me, Peter was almost like Nas. He ain't had no mic, but he said, all I need is one mic. Amen. And Peter hopped up on the scene. He hopped up and started talking to everybody in the place, and he let them know, look, y'all think they drunk. Ain't nobody drunk in here. But God is doing something in our lives. God is doing something in our lives. And this dates back all the way to the prophets who said that when the last days come, that God was going to pour out God's spirit on all people. Peter said, you got to understand, we are all people. I know that we not the pedigree of y'all. I know that we look a little like we some of the less than. I know we used to be fishers and used to be the ones who were cast out. But you've got to understand what God is doing in us. God's doing for the least of these. I know we not no Sadducees or Pharisees. I know we not the ones in high position. But you've got to understand, ain't nobody been drinking up in here. We've been serving the Lord. Is there anybody in the house today? And you can say, I ain't crazy. I just been serving the Lord. I ain't losing my mind. I just been doing things God's way. When they see us, the interesting thing, I told you all that the one study talked about how folks saw and believed that most black men were either going to be unemployed, either in crime or even in poverty. But there's a new report that just came out about the University of Virginia and Columbia University. And this report, it is called a report that deals with the success of black men. Actually, it is called Black Men Making It in America. Turn to somebody and say, you making it. You making it. And what this report does, it blows my mind, is it starts to destroy some of the false narratives we have about black men. Because we think that all black men are either locked up, about to get locked up, unemployed, or in poverty. But this report says that black men in poverty has actually fallen from 41% in 1960 to 18% today. In other words, it's saying that the majority of black men are not broke. Lord have mercy, I'm going help somebody in here. I got to deal with a devil right now, because see, we didn't even start to buy into this stuff. You see, if you allow people to say enough of the wrong thing, and then we start singing it in our songs, we start talking about it in our lyrics, and so we start to think that every black man is a criminal. Even most of the rappers that talking about crime ain't criminals. Oh, fake suckers. I'm sorry, let me come back for that a little bit later. The report says that black men in poverty has fallen from 41% in 1960 to 18% today. It goes on to say that black men in the middle or upper class has risen from 38% in 1960 to 57% today. In other words, it means that one in every two black men is either middle or upper class. Okay, that went over your head. I'm trying to come back for y'all because I got to kill a devil. It says that one of every two black men is either in in the middle or upper class. They want us to think that every black man is broke, busted, and disgusted. But this is Columbia University and the University of Virginia looking at all the statistics and all the data to let us know that we bought into a faulty notion, that we bought into everybody's name is Ray Ray and Pookie, that we bought into the fact that everybody has got their pants hanging down and everybody is gang banging. That ain't everybody, but brothers is out here doing it and out here getting it. And you've got to decide to stop letting folks tell a story that ain't the right story. Y'all don't believe me? Everybody talks about how black men are deadbeat fathers. But the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, had a report I told y'all about a little while ago in which it looked at black men, white men, Hispanic men, Asian men, and it showed that black men took care of their children more than any other group in America. It said black men were there for their children more. It said black men were more likely to help their children with their homework. They may not live with their children all the time, but it said that black men were standing up for their children more than any other demographic. I'm not here to hate on nobody. I'm just here to tell my story and to let you know it's time we say the brothers are doing it. The brothers got to reclaim your story. The second thing on the day of Pentecost, it lets you know we got to get together. Turn to your neighbor and say, get together, get together. One of the biggest challenges about the way we currently talk about the day of Pentecost is we make it spooky, and we make it all about speaking in tongues. We make it about speaking in tongues and shouting and rolling on the floor and doing cartwheels. I believe in all of that. Amen, somebody. Believe in a good cartwheel and a good roll on the floor. Amen, somebody. I believe in it. But that's not the power of Pentecost. The power of Pentecost is getting folks together. You see, the power of Pentecost, when they talked about Pentecost Sunday, they talked about the Holy Ghost coming. They talked about them speaking in tongues. But they didn't talk about them staying in worship all day. But they talked about the fact that they went and they started talking, and everybody heard what they were saying. What does it mean that you've got all these nationalities, all these people from all these different countries, but yet they can understand what everybody is saying? That the power of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Ghost was that Peter was able to say a sermon and didn't need an interpreter there, because God was doing the interpreting and bringing everybody together. One of the challenges we got in the church today is people use the Holy Ghost to keep people on the outside instead of bringing people together. They use the Holy Ghost to try to act like you so deep because you speak in tongues. You got the Holy Ghost, and so you saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet in the midst of it all, you'll speak in tongues on Sunday and curse somebody else on Monday. Gossip about Sunday on Tuesday. Backbite somebody on Wednesday, and that's just the beginning of the week. If I got somebody in the house today that knows it's not just about you getting the power of the Holy Ghost, if you can't love somebody, it's not just about you getting the power of the Holy Ghost, if you can't get our community together, we shouldn't have as many churches as we have and as many young people as we got getting killed if we got power. But if we got power, we got the power to get our communities together. If we've got power, we got the power to walk where there's death and call forth life. If we've got power, we got power to walk to our children and tell them put down the guns. If we've got power, now if you're too scared to dump the babies you helped raise, then you ain't got no power. But baby, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can walk up into the trap house and the trap house turn to the church house in Jesus' name. If I got any folks up in here that's bout it and rowdy enough to meet me at the trap house and have revival there, I don't care if you praise God in here, but baby, if you in the crack house and can give God glory, lay hands on somebody and they get delivered from crack cocaine, that's when you got power. The power. Of the Holy Ghost. The third thing, and I'm up out of here, we got to go. You got to understand it's above me now. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's above me now. It's above me now. It's above me now. Ah, Lord, have mercy. I don't know if you know, but there's a saying that went viral this past couple of weeks called, "It's above me now." And there was a young brother worked at a hotel. And a woman called for a reservation. Called for a reservation. Lord, have mercy. And in the midst of it all, she used the N-word. And by the time she got to the hotel, the young man had called his boss and had got the people ahead of top of him to navigate the situation. The woman sits and she comes and she wants her room. And he said, "I'm sorry, man, but you won't be staying here today." And she starts to argue. She starts to tell him what he needs to do for her. And he just says, "Ma'am, it's above me now." In other words, I know you cut the fool, but I'm not even dealing with you no more, because I've given it to somebody higher than you, Lord have mercy, to deal with my situation. And so I ain't got to argue with you. I ain't got to sit here and feel intimidated by you. I ain't got to worry about you, because it's above me now. Is there anybody in the house today that can say, "It's above me now"? That's what Peter said when he was talking to them on the day of Pentecost. He said, "I got to let you know, it's above me now. Now that the Holy Ghost has came up on the scene, it's above me now. It's some battles I ain't got to fight. It's above me now. It's some labors I ain't got to do. It's above me now." Have I got anybody in the house that can go and find your hater and tell your hater, "It's above me now"? Folks hating on your, somebody need to post it on Instagram. "It's above me now. I ain't called no manager. I called the Lord. I said, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know." Is there anybody in the house today that you had a little talk with Jesus and told him all about your trouble? Bible said he'll hear your faintest cry and answer by and by. Is there anybody in here who knows that God's got the power to handle your situation? That God's got the power to deal with your bills? I dare you to go home, look at your bills, say, "It's above me now." I know the doctor told you you're sick. Go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, it's above me now. High blood pressure, don't you worry about it. It's above me now. That God said that he would grab a hold of me and he'd heal me." Somebody, you had a pity party last night, but you need to look in the mirror and say, "It's above me now." Ain't no pity party tonight. I'm not going to be restless all night long, but I'm going home to get a good night's sleep. So what? I'm by myself, but I ain't going to be lonely, because it's above me now. And the Lord said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I don't care if my family ain't with me. If God is on my side, turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, it's above me now. I don't know what you're going through, but if you just go, it's above me now. That God's working it out for my good." See, yeah, see, yeah, see, yeah. Somebody grab your neighbor and shake him real good. Say, "Neighbor, it's above you now. I don't know what you came in here with, but it's above you now. And if it's above you, if God is doing a work for you, I dare you to give a victory praise." The slaves even understood. It was above them. They said, "Up over my head, I hear victory. I hear victory in the air. There must be a God somewhere." See, yeah. See, yeah. Somebody give God glory. Somebody give God a Pentecost Sunday shout. And shout, "It's above. It's above me now. I don't care what you came in here with, but say, neighbor, I'm going higher, 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 higher. Because what? It's above me now. It's above me now." Stand all over the church, all that are able.